In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This morning we take a look at the last reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians in our series of sermons on those readings. We close that this morning by reading in Galatians chapter 6, the first 10 verses, and then verses 14 to 16. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, in our series of sermons on Galatians, we've been taking a look at Paul's words to those Christians about their justification by faith and their bearing fruits of that faith in doing good. In our sermon last week, we talked about what it means to walk in the steps of the Spirit. It means, remember, to follow the Spirit's lead. It means to place our steps in the footsteps of those fruits that He gives us in connection with our faith in Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. As the apostle closes out this inspired letter, he gives specific applications. He mentions specific opportunities where we can do just that, follow in the steps of the Holy Spirit. Very specific ways that you and I freely, in faith in Christ, follow the law of Christ. Model ourselves after Him and love our neighbor as ourselves. Likely the most familiar personification of opportunity is it knocking on the door. When a person knocks on the door, you open it because you don't want to miss out on a possible opportunity. For us, many opportunities knock on the door. And for us, these opportunities are those times when we are to seize doing good to one another. That we are quickly to grasp that opportunity to love our neighbor, even our enemies, as our Savior Jesus Christ has loved us on His cross. The concluding thought in our study of the letter to the Galatians is our theme for today. We are to be ready when opportunity knocks. Then we will fulfill the law of Christ. Yet, we can only boast in the cross of Christ. The first opportunity that we have to fulfill the law of Christ freely, in love, in connection with our faith, to love our neighbor as ourselves, is to help our neighbor when he becomes entrapped in sin. Paul wrote, "If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." Sin traps us like a net traps birds. Sin snaps shut on us like a steel trap snaps shut on the leg of an animal to leave it there to die in pain. At one time or another, who of us has not been so ensnared? Who of us has not been so entrapped by our pride, by our spiritual laziness, by our lust, by our not grasping the opportunity to help someone when they needed it? You know what those traps are, ready to spring in your own lives, just as I know those and recognize them in mine. There is an opportunity for one of our fellow believers who sees us so entrapped in sin to come to us and rebuke us gently. Someone who is spiritual, and that means someone who is repentant, someone who is humble and contrite in repentance, someone who appreciates the forgiveness that God has had for them so that they can share that forgiveness with us. And isn't that also an opportunity for us the other way? When we see a fellow believer or someone else ensnared by sin in their lives, trapped by sin, opportunity is knocking. Opportunity is knocking for us to fulfill in faith the law of Christ, to take His love, to take His forgiveness, to take His rebuke of sin to that person in order to help them. Who could walk by and see a bird struggling in a net and just walk by and let that struggle continue? Could any of us walk by a helpless animal with their bleeding leg caught in a trap and just walk by and not care about that animal or get help for that animal? And they're animals. We have the opportunity, that opportunity knocks for us in faith to follow our Savior's love by going to others who are caught in sin and to rebuke that sin gently, in love, with a sense of our own sin. And that's the caution, that's the warning that Paul gives. He says, you and I, when we do that, when we see someone caught in a sin, we need to be careful that we don't become entangled ourselves, that we don't fall into the trap of self-righteousness. Then we look at that person and say, that could never happen to me. I'm more righteous. I'm more holy. I thank God I'm not like that person who has become entrapped in sin. Or to think, well, you know, I've got my sins, but that sin could never get the best of me. I would never do what that person is doing. How could we be of any help to a fellow sinner if we think we are something when we are nothing? How could we be able to help that person when we examine ourselves and, with Paul's irony, say, well, we're okay. We don't have anything wrong with us. I've taken a look at myself and I'm good. We are not able then to spiritually and gently grab that opportunity that is knocking to help others. Paul says, no, let everybody examine themselves. Take a look in your own heart. Or as Jesus says, remove the plank from your own eye before you try to remove the speck that is in somebody else's eye. When you and I examine ourselves, we may see one of two things. We may see that indeed we are repentant of our sins, that we are spiritual, that we are contrite and humble in our guilt and our sins, and we trust in Jesus to forgive us, and then we can go and do good to others and help others. Or we may examine ourselves, and again that irony of Paul, we might begin to see our own righteousness, see our own pride, our own sins, and through the mirror of the law then acknowledge them and be contrite. And then we will be ready also to help. It is only in repentance that we can follow Paul's exhortation, carry one another's burdens. Instead of comparing myself to others, I am like a soldier must carry his own pack, his own kit. I must carry my own guilt. I must carry my own realization of sin. And then also I can carry also that love of God that he has for me in Christ. Then I can stand before God in humble repentance. Then I can stand before God in Christ's righteousness and not try to be righteous by comparing myself to others. Not trying to be righteous by thinking that I am better than others. There's a little bit of an interesting instruction here. I'm to help you carry your burdens. And that would be the burden of your sin, the burden of your guilt, the burden of results of sin in your lives, the burden of living in a sinful world. But I can't really do that unless I'm doing that for myself, unless I'm recognizing my own sin, my own guilt, acknowledging that to God, and then trusting in Jesus as my Savior. When opportunity knocks, we are to be ready to carry out that law of Christ. And to do that, we apply that first of all to ourselves, in self-examination and in our faith. It's only when I humble myself and take responsibility for myself in a God-pleasing way that I am able to help you carry your burdens. And there's another reaction when opportunity knocks, and that is the opportunity to thank those who do that. When someone helps me carry my burdens, when someone has taught me the Word of God, when someone has come and rebuked me for my sin and then comforted me with the assurance of my forgiveness. The opportunity is knocking to share good things with those who have helped me. And I can give you a very concrete example. Pastors are moved deeply when we receive a card or a note from someone who says, "Thank you for caring about my soul and for coming to me. Thank you for taking the time and sharing God's word that made me see my sin and that assured me of my Savior's forgiveness in Jesus Christ." We saw it when our confirmands, in their couple of their essays, where they thanked me and thanked you for the opportunity to receive God's word from us. I received last week just a very nice card in the mail from one of the confirmands, thanking me for teaching them God's word. That's sharing good things with those who instruct us. To share the good things in our spiritual lives of repentance and faith and the strengthening of our faith and the fellowship that we enjoy with one another. And that's important because without people grasping the opportunity when it knocks to live in faith, that law of Christ, and without us doing that to others, then sadly, those people would have to experience what Paul warns about. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And if you sow to your sinful flesh, you will reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. That's what those who have instructed us have taught us. They have enabled us by the power of the Spirit and the Word to see that. They took the opportunity to teach us that if I follow the steps of my flesh, I'm going to go to hell. But if I follow the steps of the Spirit in faith, then God by grace is going to take me to heaven. Now we may, Paul says, grow weary in doing good, because sadly everybody doesn't listen. Everybody doesn't appreciate it. Some people send you a note saying, "I'm going to call my attorney if you don't quit bothering me about my sin." But Paul says, don't grow weary. Don't give up in doing good. You may not see the results right away. A farmer, when he goes out and sows the seed, if he goes out the next day and looks for a crop, he's going to be sadly disappointed. In time, that crop will be there. And so Paul says, when you're doing good, when you're grabbing those opportunities to help all people, but especially your fellow believers, when we're carrying each other's burdens, don't give up. When it seems you're getting nowhere, when it seems it isn't working, when it seems that maybe it's a waste of time, just keep at it. Because in God's time, when the time is right, there will be a harvest of souls. A harvest of souls that God will gather. That He will gather because of the cross of His Son. And that's why in the second part, as he closes this letter, Paul says, you know, opportunity knocks. We got to be ready to take that opportunity. Let's do good for all. Let's do good for everybody. Let's carry each other's burdens. Let's not grow weary in doing good. We're going to do all those things. But not one of them has anything to do with being saved. Not one of them has anything to do with being right with God. And that's why Paul says, I'm only going to boast in the cross of Christ. I'm only going to boast in the one through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ by which we are justified and by which the whole entire world is justified. It is through faith that we make that justification our own personal possession by the power of the Spirit. And so we boast in that cross. Did you catch the connection? In the law of Christ, carry each other's burdens. Was there any place greater than the cross where we see someone bearing someone else's burdens? It was on the cross that Jesus Christ was bearing the burdens of your sin and your guilt and your punishment and mine. Jesus didn't grow weary in doing good. Jesus didn't give up because some rejected him, because the work was too hard. He kept at it. And then he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Because Jesus carried our burdens and bore our sin and guilt, we are justified. We are saved. We have peace with God and the mercy of God. My bearing your burdens and your bearing my burdens is everything in the law of love. It is nothing in the cause of my salvation. Opening the door when opportunity knocks to love is the right thing to do, but it's not going to open the door of heaven. The only thing that has opened the door of heaven is the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, opportunity is knocking for you and for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even the Israel of God. Those false teachers in Galatia were telling people, you had to be circumcised. You have to keep the law in order to be justified. And Paul said, no, that's not true. Circumcision doesn't mean anything. Uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. The only thing that counts is that new life of Christ that he gives us through faith. Paul's letter to the Galatians is about justification, not by works, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ. No work of love in obedience to the law contributes a single thing. And yet, as Christians, love characterizes our lives. Carrying each other's burdens is who we are. It's what we are about. And so we do good and don't grow weary in doing good because on Jesus' cross, our Savior did not grow weary, but won for us all spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of our sins, new spiritual life, and eternal life in heaven. Amen.